Good morning, church. We're so glad to have you join us this morning. Last week, we talked about gaining self-control. And we talked about doing that by resisting to have things our own way, by putting Christ first, and by taking our lead or our cues from the Holy Spirit. I mentioned that whatever the first thing that is on your mind when you wake up in the morning is your priority. And if it's not God, then He is not your priority. Our scripture today is leading us in the same direction as the previous chapter, but is focusing on a behavior that is not new to the church or Christianity and it's centuries old, favoritism. James chapter 2, verses 1 to 9, and let me read that for you. My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, "Here's a good seat for you," but say to the poor man, "You stand there or sit by my feet," have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom He promised those who love Him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are blaspheming the noble name of Him to whom you belong? If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love the Lord, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. When I was a child, I was poor. And as a kid, other dads would treat me differently because I was from a single-parent home. Others would treat me poorly because of my clothes. Fathers in the church didn't want me to date their daughters because I was from a broken home. I was very aware of it, but I knew my worth in God, and I did not let people in the church affect my view of God or how He viewed me. As I got older, I worked and I made money and I was able to hide the fact that I was poor. But growing up in the church, I was still poor in the eyes of others. I know what it's like to be treated as not worthy. Did I allow that to stop me? No, because I knew my worth in Him. It only pushed me further to ignore what people said and do what God asked me to do, and I did that with confidence. When Shell and I were first married, I remember one day I went to the mall in the morning in work clothes, and the staff at a particular store completely ignored me. I was looking for dress clothes for a funeral that I had to officiate in just a few hours, and I left without being helped. Went home, I got ready for the funeral, and then headed back to the mall after the funeral. I went back into the store, and the same people were working there, and because I was in a suit, I looked clean cut, shaved, etc., they were more willing to help me. I then explained the situation to them of how they did not even acknowledge me earlier in the morning, and that I hoped they weren't doing that to others because of how they looked. They needed to work on some customer service. Think about a time where you were treated differently for whatever reason, how you looked, any pick a reason. How did that make you feel? Favoritism is a hindrance to our ability to see and love people the way God sees and loves people. God is a God of grace who does not indulge in favoritism like we have the tendency to do. And so James explains that we shouldn't hold the faith of Jesus Christ with partiality in verse 1. God has made it clear through Scripture that He loved the world and gave His Son over to death in order to save it. And this was grace and it was mercy showed on God's part to any and everyone willing to believe with no favoritism. Therefore, we should live the same way. In verses 5 and 6, James uses a paradox to explain the connection between being rich in the kingdom versus in the world. The poor believers might be lacking in material possessions, but they are the ones who are rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, verse 5. James uses harsh imagery to point out the fact that that the rich people we treat with high honor due to their wealth and privilege are the same people who exploit us and drag other people and us into courts. Much of what we as people see and judge comes from the outside of others, but it's the inner heart and the spirit that God judges. James finishes his teaching on personal favoritism by pointing back to the ultimate law of love. Loving your neighbor as yourself involves sacrifice no matter who the person is. James goes on to say that partiality or favoritism is a sin, which is also stated in Leviticus 19, verse 18. So showing favoritism goes against everything James desires this audience to learn about loving people fairly. Since you and I can become offenders of the law by stumbling in one area while keeping the rest, we become guilty of all of the rest. In other words, you cannot do both at the same time, believing you're actually loving your neighbor yet showing partiality or favoritism to others. The law commanded God's people to love their neighbors as themselves, and their neighbors included the wealthy and the poor. You can see that in Luke chapter 10, verses 29 to 37. The emphasis there means that we must love our neighbors as we love ourselves. We must love our neighbors with the same level of concern and care that we have for ourselves. But in addition to the meaning that we must love our neighbors as ourselves equally, James insists that we must love each of our neighbors equally, not treating one neighbor better than the other. The law calls out for equality. Showing favoritism violates the principle of equal treatment under the law of God. This command is a simple command: treat others as you would treat yourself. So my question to you is, do you? I don't know what your circle of influence is and what it looks like, but to implement this concept of love God and love your neighbor as yourself is one that can be used in any situation. We have said in the past that the message of Jesus Christ has on the cross, it crosses all cultural and social boundaries. It has to work for the rich man on Wall Street to the single mom living in Africa walking 10 miles a day for water. It has to be the same. If the message does not speak equally across the board in all settings, then it is not the message of Jesus Christ. The nonsense that is happening around our world today is because that message has been lost. It's up to you and it's up to me to clearly state that everyone is equal no matter where they come from or what they look like. It's time not only to speak out, but to live out this message of Jesus Christ. And that message was a command to us: love God with everything inside us and love our neighbor as ourselves. It's time as Christians that we stand up and we become the church, that we stand up and we do what Christ has commanded us to do, and that's to love Him with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself. It's a simple challenge, but it does seem quite difficult in practicality. What are you doing today to live out that command? The command is throughout Scripture. It's Old Testament, it's New Testament. What are we going to do? How are we going to respond? We need to respond by showing love, by not showing favoritism. Unfortunately, human nature tends to steer us in a direction of showing favoritism, and it's time that we fought that. It's time that we took, like we said last week, ourselves and took that out of the picture, and we actually put other people in front of our own desires and our own wants. This is something that we as mankind, we as humans, we as Christians need to do. This will change the world. If the whole world decided that they were going to love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and their neighbor as themselves, we wouldn't be in a lot of the situations we are socially that we are right now. And so I ask you today, are there areas in your life? Maybe you start with just one area where you start to remove self and help someone else in a way, whatever that looks like. I don't know what it could be for you. But maybe it's time we took a good look inside and said, how can we show the love of Christ through our actions? That's going to speak louder than any words we can do, than any march we can march on, if we are acting appropriately, if we are taking self out of all of this and putting Him first, filtering everything we see through His eyes. I guarantee you things will change, but it has to start somewhere. Where is that going to start? It's going to start with you, and it's going to start with me. And I think if we jump on this and we can communicate that to those within our circle, that will spread out further than we could ever imagine. Give it a try. Think about this week. Where's an area that you can work on where you can take yourself out and put someone ahead of you? Give it a try. It's going to take a lot of strength. It's going to take your ego and put it to the side. But it's your decision to do that. You have the power and the choice to do that. We've also been commanded to do it. Where do you stand on this? You know what? Thanks for listening this morning. God bless you. I hope you have a great week. And I would love to hear how that worked out for you if you implement these small things. Last week it was how do we gain self-control. This week it's how do we take ourselves out of it and put others before us by raising others up and making them more important than ourselves. You know what? Have a great week. God bless you.